It's good to see you. Welcome to Emmaus. My name's Nathan. If this is your first time here, I hope you feel welcomed right at home. If you meet somebody who's here for the first time, offer them a bag of coffee. They're right outside those doors. Thanks for joining us today. Raise your hand if you like a Bible, sermon notes page. This will help you follow along. Today we have also these blue cards. This is a prayer that I'll draw your attention to this at the end of the sermon. Hopefully we have some of these left. Those are by the doors. Glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. As Melissa said, we're kicking off a new five-week series today around the topic of rest, which leads us to why in the world would we focus on rest now? Like, the middle of September, back, it's crazy right now. This is like the worst time of the year to focus on rest. I know that it's a busy time, and let's be honest, when is it not? When is it not a busy time? Seriously, I've had this idea in my head since the beginning of the year and wanted to talk about rest. Didn't know where to calendar this series. Didn't know where it fit in the year. And so in March, I thought in May. Let's preach about rest in May. May is absolute madness every year. It's crazy. So I thought, okay, we have to push that to July. Let's do the rest series in July, right in the middle of the summer. We were crazy in July. I didn't feel like I could even get my head into the topic at that point. So I thought, well, maybe we'd put it like at the end of the fall, that really slow time right before the holidays. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, right. I was like, no, that doesn't fit there, right? So we literally, where do we put this? I don't know if we can. Everybody's different, got different realities, but I don't know if we can even identify a generally sort of restful time of year. So flipped the strategy, decided let's drop it into the craziest time of the year, at least for many of us, middle of September, back to school, new routines, all kinds of stuff happening. And I'm glad it's working out like this because even if there were some relatively slow time, that's not really when we need this gift of rest, right? After all, isn't a gift most appreciated when it's most needed, right? So I think it's now. It's in the midst of when we're struggling with all of the calendars and the kids' sports and the meals and all the things. Right now, in the middle of all of the stuff of middle of September, this is, I think, when we need it. A gift is most appreciated when it is most needed. There is an asterisk to that statement, however, which is if you recognize the need. Yes, a gift is most appreciated when it's most needed, but not if you don't recognize the need, right? I need food most when I'm working really hard. Ironically, when I'm working really hard, I sometimes forget to eat. I need rest most when I'm going, when I'm scheduled from morning to night and adding additional things. Ironically, when I'm going, I forget to rest. And if I forget to rest long enough, then I don't even recognize the need for it anymore. A gift is most appreciated when it's most needed, if you can recognize the reality enough to say, thank you. Thank you for this gift. This is exactly what I needed. Without that recognition, the gift is like, why'd you give this to me? It's just, it doesn't compute. It doesn't seem to make sense. And that right there is a shift in perspective that I need to make, and maybe many of you need to make. It is this, recognizing that rest is a good gift from a loving God who made us to need rest. Rest is a good gift from a loving God who made us to need rest. The need for rest is not a deficiency. The need for rest is not a weakness. It's part of the design. Did you know you were made with needs? And those needs include the need for rest. Okay, I'm super curious. How is this resting with you right now? How is this hitting you or how is this striking you, but that's the wrong verb for the topic. How is this feeling as Melissa introduces the idea, as we begin to sing, as I say we're going to talk about rest for a few weeks? First impressions, share a word. How's this feel? Needed. It feels needed. Okay. Maybe yes, I need this. I'm so glad we're going to talk about this. I'm going to soak in this for a bit. Yeah, I think maybe some of us feel that way. Something else? Any other ways that this makes you feel?
Relaxed.
Really? Good. We got the 11 o'clock crew. Less agitated. Somebody else?
Skeptical.
Skeptical, right. Yeah, I really resonate with that. When people start talking about rest, specifically when people talk about Sabbath, I start feeling like, yeah, you probably don't have a lot going on in your life. You know, I really do. I just start feeling like, I get a little irritated about it. Like, that'd be nice. I am in go mode. So now this, I'm not saying this is the right response. It's my honest, yeah, good. You and me, we're on that. Somebody else? Any other impressions around this idea? Some of you may long for rest, but feel like it is an unattainable reality. Like you lay down to sleep and you can't sleep because of grief, because of anxiety, because of the illness. You long for rest. You would actually really appreciate rest, but for whatever reason, you are incapable of resting. You are not able to slow it down. You long for this, but it is an unrealized thing. I think some of you maybe feel kind of irritated, potentially. I'm doing stuff right now. Some people potentially feel a sense of pressure, like, oh gosh, now you're going to put that on me? Now in addition to all the rest of this stuff, I'm supposed to rest? It almost feels like an additional burden for some people, and it feels like a counterproductive one. I often feel like what will help me is to get the stuff done, not to stop doing it. Right? And I really struggle with this. Truthfully, I am terrible at resting. I've like discovering this. In fact, that's kind of the theme of the preaching for this year is one of my revelations from the last. I've preached on temptation for Lent and all of my demons right here. I preached on anger a while ago and realized through that process that this is becoming something that I'm battling with a little bit more. And I've wanted to preach on rest all year, and I'm realizing through the preparation for this series, I'm terrible at this. I am not good at this. I told somebody this week, I almost feel like I shouldn't preach about this because I'm just not good at resting. And frankly, it's gotten worse. In the last few years, it's gotten worse. I was thinking, I've had the benefit of having three really solid mentors in my life. I saw one of them at a wedding yesterday. None of them is good at resting. None of them. The guy who mentored me in college and grad school, two full-time jobs, wrote a major biography every other year in the 90s, always took the stairs to his third floor office. And he would say to me, Nathan, there's plenty of time to rest on the other side. I loved that. And I was like, yeah, rest is for weaklings, right? Oh. I agree with him, and I also, you know, I see this, there needs to be a rhythm of rest here and now. There needs to be a recognition of the basic limits of my body and my mind and my capacity. Amidst all the pressures and all the problems and all the possibilities, like even the forward motion kind of stuff, there needs to be a rhythm of rest. We neglect this need at our own peril, and we end up, even if we have a capacity that's maybe different than others, we often end up, at least I end up hurting those around me when I don't rest. Maybe I don't feel the impact, but others definitely feel the impact. So there's plenty of time to rest on the other side. I think he's right. And yet we also need some sort of rhythm of rest right in the middle of September, amidst all the soccer games and caring for loved ones while you're working full-time, amidst all the doctor's appointments and the pressures or whatever it is in your stage of life right now. Friends, what if we could learn to rest? What if we could see rest as a gift? And what if we could receive it? Would you be interested? Me too. Maybe you're terrible at resting just like I am. Maybe rest doesn't sound like a realistic possibility. There was somebody in the back row at the 9 o'clock, and I know her situation. You know, she is taking care of a lot herself and almost feels like there's an edge with like, wait a minute, now you're on top of that, you're saying I need to rest. Maybe rest doesn't even sound like a realistic possibility at this time in your life for a number of reasons, but are you willing to consider it? If rest is a gift, are you open to receiving it? Let's start here. For the next 3 weeks, we're gonna camp out. We're gonna rest in this teaching of Jesus. It's in Matthew. It's recorded in Matthew 11, verse 28 and following. It's familiar to many. Here's how Matthew records it. This is Jesus' teaching, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A little about the context here. Jesus, of course, is making a much bigger point at this point in the gospel. The bigger point he's making is basically about who he is. He is the long-expected Messiah. He is the rescuer of the Jewish people who have struggled mightily all throughout their history to come to any place of peace with God, to experience any kind of extended sense of rest with God. The larger context of what Jesus is saying is that he is the fulfillment of the prophecies. He is the Savior of the world. Because Jesus is now in the world, because he has entered the picture, the rest that the people of God have longed for and have failed to really realize is now finally a possibility through Christ. Jesus offers to do for Israel and also for us what we could not and cannot do for ourselves. And the culminating sign of the reality or the evidence of the Savior's arrival is this possibility of rest. Right? No longer am I having to do this all myself, but I have this Savior, this rescuer. So that's the bigger picture, and we'll spend more time in that bigger picture going forward. But today I just want to focus on who it is that Jesus is talking to and how it is that Jesus characterizes those that he's talking to, all right? And so I want to begin with this question. Did you hear what he said? Jesus is calling. Jesus is inviting. Who's invited? All you who are weary and burdened. I literally wonder if we can hear this. I wonder if Jesus himself in the flesh came up to you and said, "How's it going?" If you would actually do anything other than say, "Oh, it's good." You know, automatic. I wonder if Jesus himself came up to you and said, "How are you?" If you would just automatically fall into the, "I'm fine." Right? I wonder if we even have the ability to hear this invitation. Jesus is calling all who are weary and burdened. And I wonder if that includes you, if you're in that group, if you're weary, if you're burdened, if you would lower the defenses enough to say, "Maybe he's talking to me. Maybe this is for me." Let's look at those two words. They're different. The first word, weary, it's understood as an experience that comes from working hard or carrying a lot of responsibilities or even grief. We might think of it as weary as this sort of exhaustion, right? It's primarily a physical condition. This is the word that's used by Peter when Peter's in the boat, he's fishing, Jesus is on the shore. Jesus says, "Try the other side of the boat." And Peter's like, "We've been fishing all night," right? It's this exhaustion. Like, we are tired. It's the same word that is used when Jesus has the conversation with the woman at the well. He's been walking all day. He comes to this historic well. And John writes, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired, there's the word, as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. Jesus is weary. It's the same word that Paul uses at the end of his letter to the Christians in Rome when he greets several people and he points out maybe why he's concerned about them, what it is that's prompting a specific named greeting. For instance, in verse 6, Paul writes, "Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, these women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who worked very hard in the Lord." It's this idea of physical exhaustion. Their bodies are weary. We feel or experience weariness physically. We feel this word in our bodies. That's specifically who Jesus is calling to or is addressing here. All you who are weary, I'm exhausted. And not just that, but also burdened. The word translated burdened seems to be specifically around this idea of I feel pressure associated with unattainable expectations and impossible rules. It's the kind of pressure that we can imagine the Jews of Jesus' time carrying under the weight of like hundreds of extra religious laws that they're needing to like keep in order to be acceptable in the culture, in the community, in the temple worship. These are the kinds of pressures maybe many of us are feeling today to be perfect parents when in fact we're making mistakes all over the place in parenting, or to be successful at what we do. When sometimes we just close the office door and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm barely hanging on. I'm barely keeping it together. Or be consistently good when in fact we're struggling with sin. Same kind of pressure. It's an emotional pressure. A word that we might use more commonly for burdened is stressed. So while we feel weariness in our bodies, we feel burdened in our hearts. We feel burdened in our minds. It's one thing to have a weary and tired body. It's totally legitimate, understandable, right? I'm tired in my body. It's a different thing to be burdened in your spirit, or to have a heavy heart, or to have a lot on my mind. Most of the time, I'd rather have a tired body than a burdened heart. Burdened heart, and that's heavy, right? A lot on my mind. That's heavy. Weary speaks to a physical load. Burdened speaks to an emotional load. And that's who Jesus is calling. All who are weary and burdened. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I was at a football game and I met this dentist. And I was asking him all about his business, and it was really fascinating to me. And I said, did your business just crumble during COVID? Yes, nobody came to the dentist during COVID. Then what happened? Well, then it was booming, because once people were sort of back, everybody had neglected basic oral care for a year and a half, and he said business was booming. Everybody's mouths were a mess. And I said, oh, man, how long did that last? He said, it's still going strong. It's never been stronger. So why is that? He said, people are breaking their teeth. They're clenching. At night, they're grinding. He said, that's all we do now is fix people's broken teeth, and they're breaking them themselves. And I said, what is going on? And he said, they're stressed. Like, duh. I got a mouth guard. After I was like, I'm not breaking my teeth. Isn't that interesting? Burdened. People are stressed out. Who is Jesus talking to in this teaching? All who are weary and burdened. That's who's invited. What's the invitation? Come to me. Come to me. Are you weary and burdened? Do you feel exhausted and stressed? If you do, friends, Jesus has a word for you. And the word is very simple. It's come. Come to me. Why would Jesus tell me to come to him? Because I'm not. I need to be reminded. Why would Jesus tell you to come to him? Because you're going elsewhere. You need to be reminded that that's a counterfeit solution. That's a temporary pacification of a need that is deep and real and legitimate and requires literal, real medicine, not some false counterfeit. Here's a question. Can you think about the last week for a second and think, where did I go when I was feeling tired? What did I turn to when I was feeling burdened or stressed? What's your go-to? This is just for you. What do you think? Where did you go? Did you turn on a game? Big bowl of ice cream? Some of the things we turn to are instantly destructive, significantly destructive. Most of the things we turn to are more neutral. Maybe in the short term they're helpful, but that's really what they do. They pacify us for a minute. Here's the response that actually addresses physical weariness and overburdened pressure that so many of us feel throughout the week, and so many throughout our culture apparently feel. The solution is coming to Jesus. Jesus' invitation to us, at least, is this: it's come to me. In other words, are you exhausted? Are you stressed? This is how you put your Christian faith into practice if this is the condition you find yourselves in. How are you? Truth? I'm tired and I'm stressed. Well, then practice your faith. This is the invitation. Come to Jesus in that condition. That's the answer that he offers to us. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened. And then finally, there's a promise. What's the promise? I will give you rest. Right? I will give you rest. In other words, I will give you what you truly need. Come to me, Jesus says, and receive rest. In other words, stop working, stop moving, stop laboring, stop building, stop stressing, stop performing in order to recover and regain strength and be refreshed. Jesus is like, I want to give you what you actually need. I want to give you rest. There's a lot of football happening in our family these days. And one of the really fun things about football is that there's unlimited substitutions. In other words, if you pull a baseball pitcher out of a game, he can't go back in the game. But if you pull a football player off the field, you can put him right back in the next play, right? And so there's a lot of that. Coaches pulling kids off, putting different kids on. And the idea is you pull a kid off the field for a couple of plays. Why? To give them a breather, get a little water, get your head in the right space, whatever it takes. The assumption is you're going to go back into the game. You're not out for the rest of the game in most cases. You're going to go right back into the game. Why? Because there's so much more of the game to play. There's so much more of the game to play. And when I think about why I have such a hard time resting, I think, well, the reason is because there's so much work to be done. There's so much work to be done. And here when I read these words of Jesus, I realize he's not debating me on that point. He's not confused about how much work there is left to be done. Of course there's so much work to be done, but he's inviting me to take a breather to get off the field for a couple of plays so that I can go in recovered, so I can be refreshed, so I can be effective, so I can do the work well and not make a bigger problem and create more work because I'm a mess, because I'm so exhausted. There's physical rest for physical recovery. There's emotional rest for emotional recovery. There's healing for grief. There's encouragement for sadness. There's this alleviation for a moment from the pressures to perform or to make a sale or whatever it is that you're about all day long. Rest from the stuff that isn't going to go away. Yes, it will be there again in the morning. Friends, some of us will carry grief our whole life. So in order to not be devastated by that, we must take a break occasionally, right? We must embrace a rhythm of rest from that. Some of you are going to work in super stressed situations your whole career. So you must learn to get off the field for a short amount of time so that you can re-engage a definitively stressful working situation. Some of us will carry the same burdens our whole life. We will live under the same burdens our whole life, and they will either crush us or we will learn how to trust them to Jesus. I could never do that. It seems so entire. I agree. Maybe you won't, but maybe you could for a day. Maybe you could for a few minutes. We're talking about a periodic rest. We're talking about taking a break. Jesus is saying, this is a gift that I want to give you. And that's the last idea that I want to share here. He's not talking about something that's the result of an achievement or a reward for a job well done. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a gift. I got to have lunch with somebody this week, said, I sold so many of these things that I earned an all-expense-paid vacation from my company, which is awesome. That's not what this is. This is not, the rest that Jesus is offering is not a reward for how well you've done. It's a gift. You didn't deserve it. He's offering it to you because you need it. Right? I will give you rest, he says. Jesus is talking about a good gift from a loving God who made you and me to need rest. So to sum up, who's invited? All who are weary and burdened. Is that you? You can join that group, right? All who are weary and burdened are invited. What's the invitation? Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And third, what's the promise? It's the gift of rest. Jesus says, I will give you this. I will give you this. Yes, this is mystical. Yes, this is spiritual. Yes, this is physical. It's all of it. I will give you this. And the whole thing is super challenging. I mean, the whole thing's challenging to me. I step back from this and I go, it's still hard. It's still, because it requires that I be real, that I be honest. I'm tired, right? It requires a level of, at first blush, I have to begin by saying, I acknowledge it. I am burdened. I admit it. So I have to be real right out of the gate. That's challenging. It's also challenging because now the ball is in my court. Jesus initiated this. Jesus made the invitation. Jesus mailed the invitation. Now I'm holding it. The invitation says, come to me. What am I going to do with that? I have to respond one way or the other. I either decline the invitation or I accept it. I either try to substitute this invitation with another that is not going to be as effective, or I embrace it. And that's what I need to do. I need to resist the pseudo-solution. I need to resist the temporary fix. I need to stop scrolling. I need to escape the dopamine hit. Instead, I need to respond to this remarkable invitation from Jesus Christ to receive rest for my soul. And then finally, it's challenging because I need to receive the gift. I need to receive the gift. That is so challenging. I find that so challenging. Let me end by telling you my best rest story. I was in Italy, and I was walking in the Umbrian Mountains outside of Rome for several days. And I'd walk all day, and I'd get to the top of a mountain, and I would stay in a little hostel or something, find a place to stay, and walk the next day. One morning I woke up, and as I was leaving this place, they said, where are you going today? And I said, I'm going to Subiaco, which is where St. Benedict built this monastery on the side of a cliff. I was super excited about it. They said, where are you going to stay? And I told them, they said, don't stay there. There's a convent above the monastery. They have a guest house. You should stay there. I said, great. So I walked all day, 15 miles. It was the hardest day of hiking. It was super, super steep. And I remember going over this rock bridge over the Inyene River into Subiaco, thinking, okay, I'm arrived. And then I see these steps and realize the monastery where I'm going is 2 miles up steps, up rock steps, like Yosemite kind of steps. And it just crushed me. I literally thought, I'm done. I'm spent. I don't think I can do this. And I just stood there for a long time. I got an orange juice from this little cafe. I'm just staring at these steps going, I don't know if I have it in me to go any farther. This is the dream, and I'm about ready to abandon it. All of a sudden, this little white Fiat goes, and throws open the door, the passenger door, and I look down into this little teeny car, and there is a nun driving the Fiat, which I didn't know they did. And I thought that was so crazy. And she's motioning for me. I've told some of you this story. She's motioning for me to get in the car. And to my total surprise, I just did. I just got in the car with this nun. I left my walking sticks at the side of the road, leaning up against this bridge. I was so tired, I just got in the car. And then she's going through the gearbox, and she's climbing up these super steep roads in this little car, and she's chattering in Italian, and I'm trying to talk in English, and I'm showing her my Google Translate on my phone and my map, and I'm trying to find something in my backpack, and it's total chaos for like 5 minutes. And I begin to feel irritated because I have a place to go. She doesn't know where I need to go. And I'm concerned that we're going to miss the place as we keep climbing up the road. She points out, she's very interested in me seeing how beautiful it is. So go to the next slide, if you would. So I take a picture out the window. That is beautiful. But see how steep it is? It was crazy. So we're climbing. Finally, this happens. She pushes my phone down and my map down, and she puts her hand on my knee, and she looks at me, and she says one word, rest. That's what she said, rest. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll rest. We finally arrive at the very top of this mountain, and she walks me to the guest house, and this is what's painted on the outside of the guest house. It says Emmaus. And I was just like, oh, there's something much bigger happening here. And it was a beautiful place, and it was a peace-filled place. And there were two or three other guests there from all over the world, and I loved it so much, I stayed there an extra day. I didn't want to leave. It was so restful. This is a picture of her. Her name's Sister Marie, and she's the one that picked me up in the Fiat, and she actually is the foundress of this convent, has been there for like 30 years. She was just such an encouragement. So here's what I want to say. I needed to recognize my need, and that was easy because I was tired. And then I needed to respond to the invitation to get in the car. That was also very easy for me, surprisingly. Why? Because I'd been honest about how tired I was. I was done pretending that I had any more strength. I was like, yes, I'm tired. I'll get in the car. It was still hard for me to receive the gift of rest. There was a battle there that happened for 3 or 4 minutes, right? I still was trying to figure it out. I still was trying to make it happen. I still was trying to like navigate the problem. But hearing this Italian nun in a Fiat say rest to me, I just unlocked it. Yeah. And my hope is that when we would hear Jesus say, come to me and I will give you rest, that there would be something in that familiar phrase that would just unlock this militant grip we have on figuring it all out and making it all so perfect, and that we could, in Christ, that we could find moments of rest, afternoons of rest, days of rest, right? Seasons of rest with the true lover of our soul. Let's pray together. Please give us the grace, Lord, to believe that we are invited into an experience with you that is deeply renewing, restorative. Help us to be honest about our need for recovery, and help us to find our recovery in you. Would you surround us this week with opportunities and people with whom we could share honestly about how we're doing? Would you help us to begin with a level of recognition and admission of our need? And give us the grace to respond courageously to your invitation, even when it feels, I don't even know how this works in my profession. I don't even know how it works in my schedule. Would you give us clarity? We need you to show us the way, and would you give us the grace to receive the gift of rest? Even this week, the third week of September, would you bring rest to our souls? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.